السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله عبد الرحمن. We've been waiting for you.
عفوا يا
Can we
شيخ.
go on now?
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد, I hope that in the next few hours, 1-2 hours from now, we will start holding back from our food. We'll start holding back from our drink. And we'll start holding back from lawful private relations with our families, from Tulul Fajr, when the Fajr appears at dawn, up to Ghurub Shams. In a few moments, that will be announced for us, and we'll be getting into the month of Ramadan. May Allah make us reach Ramadan as close as it is. Allah alone knows those who will come into this month. I beg Allah to make each and every one of us, myself telling us and the rest of us listening to me, may Allah bring us safely into this month of Ramadan, with sound iman, with sound health, with provisions, with our family and our children. May Allah bring us into this month, the month of blessings. Make us benefit from the barakat of the month. It is for this class is for Al-Kabair, but I think it is appropriate to mention a few things about the month of Ramadan. Ramadan itself is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. Ramadan itself is the ninth month of the Islamic calendar. And that is the calendar that is recognized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. منذ خلق السماوات والأرض. Since when Allah created the heavens and the earth, the months with Him are the months of Sharia, Muharram, Safar, Rabi'ul Awwal, and so on, up to Ramadan, the ninth month. That word itself, Ramadan, the linguists say that it has come from the word Ar-Ramdu. Ar-Ramdu is Shiddatu Waqi Ash-Shamsi, when the sun is so intense. When the sun is intense, Arab refer to that as what? Ramd. And that's why when the sun is so intensely hot and the stones or the sand on the ground, the stones are also hot. They are called Ramdha'u. That is al-hijaratu al-hamiyatu min harri shams. The stones that are hot because of the hotness of the, because of the harara, the hotness of the sun. When the stones become hot, they are referred to as ramdha'u. So the intensity, this word Ramadan came from that intense heat. Some of the scholars say the reason why the month is so named is لِرْتِضَاءِ الصَّائِمِينَ فِيهِ مِنْ حَرِّ الْجُوءِ وَالْعَطْشِ. The fasting people, الصائمون, they have irtida, they have some heat, some burning. When you leave food, when you leave drinking, these two things make the inside of your body to be warm. So perhaps because of this warmth, that we have in the month of Ramadan. The month was so named Ramadan. Others say that it is because لِرْتِضَاءِ الصَّائِمِينَ لَا لِرْتِضَاءِ الذُّنُوبِ فِيهِ. And the dhunub become warm in the month of Ramadan. And so because of this heat upon our sins in the month of Ramadan, the month is so named Ramadan. There is imtidab, the is felt by the body, by our dhunub. And so the month was called Ramadan because there is irtimad. Because there is irtimad, irtimad dhunubi fi shahri, our sins become warm and as if they are evaporated from us out of the bone from the absence of food, the absence of drinking, and sexual fulfillment. Our sins are burnt away. And so the month is called the month of Ramadan. And I'm sure that we know how to commence this month of mercy. The month, we have only two ways to start the month. The first way is through Ru'yatul Hilal, when the crescent is sighted. The Hilal, the crescent, is still the moon, the Qamar. But when it is at the beginning, the first 3 to 4 days, it is referred to as what? Hilal. The moon is referred to as Hilal when it first appears, occurring, looking like a crescent. So it's called Hilal, but it is still the same moon. So when the moon is sighted, when the crescent, the Hilal, is sighted, at Tarawih Hilal, do
Assalamu alaikum, Ya Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You can continue, sir.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
Abu Abdurrahman, what was the last thing you heard me say?
I can't remember, sir.
I was trying to explain Ramadan and the meaning of that word Ramadan. Did I get to the end when you heard me? Did you hear me explain that word Ramadan?
No, no, sir.
I was saying that it was picked from a rumb. Ramadan is picked from the Arabic word ar-ramd, and ar-ramd is the heatness, the hotness, shiddatu waqi shams, the intensity of the sun. Okay, the first 3 days, on the first 3 days, the crescent is referred to as hilal. I think because I had left the discussion about the naming of the month, I had come to the discussions about how to start the month. And the first approach to that was from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tasumu hatta taraw al-hilal. So I was explaining what does the hilal mean. The first 3-4 days when the crescent appears in the sky, I am saying that the hilal is the qamar, the hilal is the moon. The hilal is still the same thing as the moon, but on the first 3 to 4 days it is called al-hilal, and in English it is called the crescent. So the crescent appears and then we start. The crescent shows that Sha'ban has ended and Ramadan, the month of fasting, has commenced. This is the way the Sharia, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, has taught us to commence the month. And he said to us, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he said, فَإِنْ أُغْمِيَ الْهِلَالُ عَلَيْكُمْ. If the hilal becomes covered away, if the hilal becomes screened away from you, فَأَكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةَ ثَلَاثِينَ You should complete the month of Sha'ban to be 30 days. So there are two ways to start Ramadan. The first is through Ru'yatul Hilal, our fighting of the crescent. The second is through ikmalu al-iddati salathin, when we complete the counting of Sha'ban to be 30. We have been asked to search for the moon today, so many of our brothers will be outside looking out in the sky, and we all too should do that. As it gets closer to the time of Maghrib, we all should get to look outside, to look out for the new crescent, for the hilal of the month of Ramadan. Because from the sunnah is for us to go and see. Abdullah ibn Umar said, Tara an-nasul hilal. The people were all outside looking and searching for the crescent. He said, رضي الله عنه فرأيته وأخبرت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أني رأيته. So I saw it and I informed the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم that I have sighted the moon. So whoever sights the moon should inform the constituted authority. Whoever sights the moon should inform constituted authority that he has sighted the moon or that she has sighted the moon. So it is not for each and every one of us to begin to declare that people should start the moon, because fasting is a community affair. It should only be determined by the heads of the community. That was why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sawmu yawma yasumu an-nas, the day that the generality of the people should fast, that is the day to start fasting. As-sawmu, the fasting that is accepted as a fast of Ramadan, is yawma yasumu an-nas, the day that the generality of the people are fasting. And the affairs of the generality of the people are in the hands of their constituted authority. Was why when Ibn Umar sighted the moon, he came to inform the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It was the Prophet who now gave the order that the people should start fasting. He said, radiyallahu anhu, فَأَخْبَرْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنِّي رَأَيْتُهُ. So I informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I saw the crescent. وَأَمَرَ النَّاسَ فَصَامَهُ وَأَمَرَ النَّاسَ بِصِيَامِهِ. The Prophet fasted and he commanded the people to fast. So it is constituted authority, the federal government of our country, maybe our president or whoever the president has delegated that job to. They are those who are to tell us to start fasting, not the imam of your street, not the imam of your Jumat masjid, not the masjid, your imam of the masjid you observe Salatul Jumu'ah. No, it is the overall head of the Muslims in the entirety of our region that we count as our president, or whomever the president has delegated that job, whomever the president himself will rely on to give him information about when fasting should start. Those are the people who should tell us to start fasting. Now, how about a person who himself saw the moon? Himself, he saw the crescent by himself. Should that person fast? Some scholars say whoever saw the moon, the crescent by himself, the hilal of Ramadan by himself, must fast. But the scholars say no. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Umar came to him before the Prophet fasted and told the people to fast. Ibn Umar's coming to say to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be meaningless if it was that. Just any person who looked in the sky and saw that the hilal was available should then go and fast. And that person, the individual, is not in the position to command the generality of the community or the region. Those in charge of that are the constituted authority. So the stronger view, and Allah knows best, that is the imam of, that is the view of some of the scholars, like Al-Imam Atta'u ibn Abi Rabah, like Al-Imam Ishaq ibn Rahawiyah. That was also the view of Imam Ahmed. If you saw the moon, you cannot fast until the constituted authority announce fasting to the generality of the people. That will be in compliance with that hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. It will also be in compliance with the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who said that as-sawmu yawma yasumu an-nas, fasting in Ramadan that's acceptable, as-sawm, the fasting, is the day that the generality of the people are fasting. So don't allow anybody to start racing here and there to start telling you, hey, start fasting and all of these. Don't mind them until you hear the constituted authority telling us to fast. May Allah accept this fasting from us and bless all of us in the month of fasting. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is compulsory for every Muslim who is healthy and is able to fast, who is a mukallaf. You are a legally responsible Muslim. You are a baligh. You are a akil. You are baligh. You have reached the stage of bulug. You are akil. The individual has not lost his sense or memory or consciousness, and he is a Muslim. You are a Muslim. You have iman in Allah. You are not a mushrik, nor are you a munafiq. So check your iman. Check your iman. As far as starting in the month of Ramadan is concerned, check your iman. Be sure that you are not upon any issue of shirk. Be sure that you are not upon kufr. Be sure that you are not upon the nifaq. All of these are matters that takes a person out of Islam. So fasting is compulsory, as Allah has stated in the Quran, as the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu salam has mentioned, and as many of the scholars have mentioned consensus. So fasting is established. Al-Aslu fihi al-Kitabu wa Sunnatu wal-Ijma'. In the Quran, Allah said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqun, and so on, until he said to us, Faman shahida minkum ash-shahra falyasumhu. So anyone who is alive, is hale and hearty, sound, and of iman amongst you people of iman, falyasumhu, let him therefore fast the month of Ramadan. That one occurs in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah. In the Sunnah, Abdullah ibn Umar reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Peelers, and from the things he mentioned, from amongst those who have mentioned consensus on this matter was Al-Imam Ibn Qudama. There is no difference of opinion that the Muslim who is baligh, who is aqil, who is sound in his health, and he is not a traveling person, it is compulsory for him to fast the month of Ramadan. Yes, there are some of the people who have excuses, and these excuses are valid. Like that, the individual who is upon a journey, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ لَسَفَرٍ, or the person is upon a journey, Allah said, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ, they will count their days of fast, and fast on other days, of course, outside the month of Ramadan. There are also women who are menstruating. If you are menstruating, you are not available for fasting. Even though fasting is compulsory upon you, you have to make up that fast outside the month of Ramadan. Likewise, women who are in nifas, they just delivered a baby, they still have postnatal bleeding. It is compulsory for them to fast, but they are not available for fasting because of postnatal bleeding. More so, if she were a person who, even though she's breastfeeding, she has the ability to fast, this kind of a woman, she will not fast. She will pay back the fast in the month after the month of Ramadan. But if she was a woman who is in nifas, she's in post-delivery bleeding, and if she was breastfeeding, she would not be able to fast because of breastfeeding. So this kind of a woman, she can make fidya. Those who, when they breastfeed, it will be difficult for them adding, combining fasting with breastfeeding. These are the people who will make fidya, not just any person. Those who should make fidya are those who cannot combine fasting together with breastfeeding. If you can combine fasting with breastfeeding, the duty upon you is for you to fast. If you can combine fasting and breastfeeding, the duty upon you is to fast. You fast in the month of Ramadan. But if breastfeeding becomes difficult for you together with fasting, that is when the strongest view amongst the scholars, and that is the view of Abdullah ibn Abbas, that is the view of Abdullah ibn Umar, that is when you are due to make fidya. And fidya is for you to make one meal. The meal can be sahur, the meal can be iftar, the meal can be sahur, the meal can be iftar. Keep it in mind. So if you are feeding one single person, you feed him sahur, you feed him iftar. That is the feeding for 30 days you would have done in 15 days. One meal in the morning, that's one day of fasting. The second meal in the night at iftar, that is the second meal of fasting. So you can make it like that. You can also feed 30 person on a single day. Just make sure that you have 30 meals for the 30 days of fasting. This is as far as a woman who is making fidya is concerned. There are those who should also make fidya, like the elderly persons and those who have terminally ill. They have terminal illnesses. If the illness is terminal, like ulcer that is being treated, it is recurring. These kinds of persons should make fidya. Or other terminal illnesses that prevent them from fasting, they should make fidya, just like an elderly person, because old age is also a terminal illness. So the old elderly person, male and female, they will also be making fidya if it is difficult for them to combine fasting with old age. But I know certain old aged people, women, they are over 100 years old now, and they will fast Ramadan A to Z, 100 years. So if you can combine fasting with old age, there is no blame. Please fast in the month of Ramadan. That is what is compulsory upon you. But if you are not able to combine fasting with old age, then you should make fidya. Fafidiyatun ta'amu miskin. Allah said you should make fidya. Look for a miskin, a person in need. Your fidya is a fidya for a person in need. Don't forget, when we make fidya, it is fidyatun ta'amu miskin, providing good meal that is sufficient for iftar or that is sufficient for sahur for a person who is poor or in need. So that is the ruling regarding fasting for the group of people that we have mentioned. Likewise, for those upon a journey, Allah said, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. If you are sick, you are unable to fast, please make the fasting, count the number of days, and you are going to repeat those fasting, pay back the fast. You are going to pay back the fasting after the month of Ramadan. Likewise, if you are upon a journey, أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ, if you are ill, or you're upon a journey, any kind of a journey, As long as it's a journey and you're observing Salatul Qasri on it, you are entitled to not fast, especially if that journey is a burden to you, bringing so much hardship to you. In fact, if it brings so much hardship to you that you are falling about, struggling to walk because you are fasting and traveling, scholars consider it as part of the sin. It is a sin to fast in the month of Ramadan while traveling or while sick, so much that the fasting now increases the problem and increases the problems of traveling. You have to now start moving slowly. Everybody is asking you whether you are okay or not. If it reaches this stage, fasting is a sin. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to some people as what? Usat. He said, Ulaika usat. Ulaika usat. He had given the people the permission not to fast while they were upon a journey. The journey was difficult, and some of the people were falling on the ground out of tiredness, out of exhaustion from the journey and from fasting. Even the Prophet broke. His fast, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be righteous. The Prophet, they still want to struggle more, but the alayhi salatu wa sallam, the Prophet, when the Prophet saw them, alayhi salatu wa sallam, the reason you have to break the fast is because the deen is based on ease. The deen is based on ease. Inna deena yusrun. Inna deen, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported the hadith, and it occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. From the foundation of our deen is ease, ease. So if what will bring you ease while traveling, if what will bring you ease while you are ill is that you should not fast, then it is better not to fast. If what will bring you ease in Ramadan while traveling or while ill is that you should not fast, then it is better for you in your condition. It is better not to fast. I hope that these matters are clear. From the things that I also felt that it is necessary for us to pay attention to is that we all must deliberately intend to fast. Many of the people forget this matter. Many of the people forget deliberately intending to fast. We must deliberately intend to fast. If we don't deliberately intend to fast, then the individual does not have fasting. The individual who does not deliberately intend to fast from the very night when Ramadan is starting from today, Ikhwa, please keep it in mind. You must deliberately intend to fast. That is one major difference between fasting Ramadan and fasting other tatawu'at. in the fast of Tatawwu', you can just at 9 a.m. in the morning, you have not taken your breakfast. Maybe you find an opportunity to make janazah. So something like that. You can just decide in the morning you want to continue to fast. But if it were in the month of Ramadan, you must decide in the night that inshallah, when we wake up tomorrow morning, I will be fasting. So this is one major difference between fasting. So, ikhwah, let us pay attention to sahur. The sahur is the pre-dawn meal. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, regarding sahur, he said, innaha barakatun a'taakumullahu iyyaha. The sahur, the meal we take. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, innaha barakatun أعطاكم الله إياها فلا تدعوه. This eating is baraka for you, is a blessing for you. أعطاكم الله إياها. Allah has given you as a gift. فلا تدعوه. Do not leave it. Do not avoid it. Make sure that you are fasting and you have commenced your fasting by making what? By making sahur before the appearance of dawn. In another hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-mutasahhirin. Allah and his angels yusallun. The angels make dua, and Allah grants us blessings when we make sahur. يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى الْمُتَفَحِّرِينَ. The angels make dua for us, and Allah showers his blessings on us when we make sahur. So it is very, very important, no matter what it may be, even if it be a mouthful of water or some dates, oh ikhwa, please let us try to make our sahur. And the later, the more we delay our sahur, the better for us. The more we make our sahur to be closer to the time of Fajr, the better for us. The more we delay the eating of sahur, the better for us. The other way around, the more we quickly break our fast, the better for us. The more we quickly break our fasts, the better for us. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yuftiru ala rutubat. Ar-Rasul alayhi salatu salam, yuftiru ala rutubat. He used to eat dates that are not dried, ripe wet dates, utobat. That is the date that he prefers, alayhi salatu wasalam. If you cannot find utobat, then you make breaking the fast with tamurat. It is not, that's why people in Yoruba land, you see them breaking their fasts with dates, with orange, with banana. Please, this is a wrong practice. Dates, fresh dates are the most preferred. Then tamuru, not tamr. So most Yoruba, you see them, Is that breaking the fast with oranges, with banana? No. The most preferred thing are fresh dates or dried dates. Or it was said that the Prophet alayhi salatu salam fasawati minma, he will take some mouthful of water. So if you don't find fresh dates, take dry dates. If you don't find dry dates, then take some mouthfuls of water. From the things I like to remind us about this month and the manners in it is that at the time we are making iftar, make dua. At the time you are making iftar, make dua. The person who is fasting, he has dawatun mustajabatun inda iftar. He has an opportunity to make a dua that Allah will answer while making iftar. Please make dua, ikhwa, make dua while making iftar. Make dua. When you are making iftar, I beg you in Allah's name, make dua. Allah will answer that dua. So these are general lessons regarding the month of Ramadan, regarding fasting in the month of Ramadan. Let's not forget, some things will break our fasting. We refer to them as muftiratu siyam or muftiratu sawm. Those things that when they happen, the fasting has become vitiated. Whoever to whom it happens must fast that day again after the month of Ramadan. The first thing is al-aklu wa shurb, eating food and drinking water. When you eat food deliberately, amdan, when you eat food deliberately, by the consensus of all the scholars of Islam, Allah also told us that wakulu washrabu hatta yatabayyana lakumul khaytu al abyadu min al hayti al aswadi min al fajri thumma atimmu siyama ila al layl. These verses evidence that we should eat, kulu wakulu washrabu, eat and drink until you are able to properly discern the dawn. Yatabayyana lakumul khaytul abyadu min al-khaytil aswadi min al-fajri. So when you are able to determine dawn, atimmu siyama ila al-layl, stop eating, stop drinking until ghurub al-shams. So food and drink will break your fast if you deliberately eat while remembering that you are fasting. If you eat and drink, you break your fast, unless it happens out of forgetfulness. A person forgot that Ramadan has started. He ate pounded yam and egusi with chicken. After drinking water, he now remembers that we are in the month of Ramadan and he was fasting. This kind of a person, the fast is still established. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, it was Allah who has fed you to return to your fasting afterwards. The second thing, or the third thing after food and drink that breaks the fast is al-jima, actual sexual intercourse with your family. Actual sexual intercourse with your family. Allah said, "Uhilla lakum laylata siyam arrafasu ila nisaikum hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun alimallahu annakum kuntum takhtanuna anfusakum fataba alaykum wa'afa ankum falana bashiruhun." Allah told us that the time when it is lawful for us to have sexual intercourse with our wives in the month of Ramadan, it's in the nights of Ramadan, meaning that during the days of Ramadan, actual sexual intercourse is unlawful. Actual sexual intercourse with our family is unlawful. When we do that, it is like eating or drinking deliberately in the month of Ramadan. May Allah protect us from that. Another thing that breaks our fast in the month of Ramadan is ta'ammudul qay. When a person deliberately vomits, you agitate a vomit. If you agitate a vomit and you vomit, it has vitiated your fast. But if it was just that the person became irritated and then he vomited or she vomited, there is no blame, inshallah. But when it is a deliberate agitation, you were the one who agitated and insinuated, you prodded your throat until you drew out, that one vitiates your fasting. You have to pay back after Ramadan. Another thing that breaks our fast is al-hayd wal-nifas. You started fasting in the morning. By the time of Asr, your hayd started, your menstruation started. If it happens like that, that fasting of that day is vitiated. You have to fast that day together with the other days of your menstruation after the month of Ramadan. These are what the scholars refer to as what? Muftiratusiyam. Those things that break the fast. Food deliberately, drinking deliberately, al-jima'u, actual deliberately having sexual intercourse with your family. Number four, ta'ammudul qay, deliberately vomiting and agitating vomit. Then al-hayd wa nifas, al-hayd menstruation, wa nifas, and child delivery or the postnatal bleeding connected to child delivery. I hope that these matters are clear, inshallah. And I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fasting in the month of Ramadan. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man sama Ramadana wa qamahu. These two hadiths usually occur separately, but in this report in Bukhari and Muslim, they occur together. Man sama Ramadana wa qamahu. Whoever fasts in the month of Ramadan, wa qamahu, that is qiyam Ramadan. He also observed the late night prayers in the month of Ramadan. That is Salatu Taraweeh. Salatu Taraweeh is the same as Qiyamul Layl, is the same as Qiyam Ramadan, is the same as Salatu Taraweeh. It was called Salatu Taraweeh because when you observe them, you make istiraha, you look for raha, you make rests in between. Maybe after the first four rakats, you rest. After another four rakats, you rest. So it is called Salatu At-Taraweeh. It is called Qiyamul Layl because sometimes you have to go and sleep and wake up in the middle of the night before you observe it. Sometimes it is called Qiyamul Ramadan because it is standing up in the night of Ramadan to observe Salat in the night or in the late night. And all of them is permissible. You can make Salatu Taraweeh in your masjid. You can decide to observe it immediately after Salat al-Isha. Say 12 a.m. Follow the so if Tulu al-Fajr will occur in your community at 5:15, You can choose to observe your Qiyamul Layl, or your Taraweeh, or your Tahajjud, or your Qiyamul Ramadan. All of these refer to one single thing. Or your Witr, you can choose to observe it by 3:30, so that between 3:30 and 5 o'clock, you observe your Qiyamul Layl from the beginning of Ramadan. You can do that. And then the rest of the 15 minutes will be used for your sahur. So you can do that. The masjid, the community where you stay, you can decide to observe your Salatul Taraweeh immediately after Isha. You can choose to put it later in the night, 10 p.m., 11 p.m. It is allowed and it is sunnah. You can also choose to observe it far later in the night. It is allowed. Now, it is also allowed to go to the masjid with the entire family, men, women, children, everybody. This is also from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Salatul Taraweeh. Let us also be patient and not make trouble in our masajid. If the imam is observing 11 rak'ats, that is better. If he is observing 13 rak'ats, that is not bad at all. If he is observing more than 13 rak'ats, you have a choice to start with him and end the last 13 rak'ats together with the imam. You can observe the last 13 rak'ats with the imam, or the last 11 rak'ats with the imam. That is the best. If you are the one leading the salah, the sunnah, the most correct view, and Allah knows best. That is what Aisha has reported, radiallahu anha, of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he never exceeded 11 rak'ats, whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. And many other companions reported it too, like Abdullah ibn Abbas and others. They said the Prophet was observing 11 rak'ats. If you observe 11 rak'ats, you are certain that you are upon the sunnah. You can even observe less than 11. You can observe 9. You can observe 7. You can observe 5. You can observe 3. You can observe 1. One long one. But make sure that you observe it properly. Your readings are good. You stay long in ruku'. You observe each of the parts properly with good adhkars, with good concentration and attention. 11 is the best. If it is less than 11, because Aisha said, radiallahu anha, the Prophet did not exceed 11. And there are reports that he made 1, 3, 5, 7, and he could make 9, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he did not exceed 11. Not to exceed 11 is the best. If your imam observes 13, that's not bad at all. If he observes beyond 13 and is a learned, knowledgeable person, please manage with him. Avoid that there is trouble in the community. These are general advices who can give in the month of Ramadan like this as we go on in the month, inshallah. Issues will be coming up and we will address them, inshallah. It's not wrong at all to devote the entire class today for lessons on Ramadan. Abdul Rahman, if there are questions, we can find responses to. Hopefully we can start Ramadan tomorrow. Hopefully by Maghrib today, it will be announced that we should start Ramadan. As the day begins, as dawn begins tomorrow, because I just got aware that in Saudi Arabia, the moon has been sighted. So if the moon has been sighted in Saudi Arabia, it's much likely, because we are 2 hours behind. So the moon will be more matured, inshallah, by the time it comes to us. It's likely that our leaders will announce to us to start. fasting. So for the sake of Allah, let us keep it in mind. The leaders, the Sultan specifically, will tell us to start fasting. And bi'idhnillah, we will follow his instruction and start fasting. If he says don't fast, we have not sighted the moon, we will not fast, because he's our leader. And he has a right to tell us what is best for us in the circumstance. If our Sultan says no, fasting in Nigeria will start on Sunday, so be it. If it says it will start on Saturday, so be it. That is what we should wait for. Please, Ikhwa, let us be patient. Let us encourage the people to be patient. Our leaders will tell us what to do, and then we follow. May Allah guide them to that which is best for us, and reward them over the difficulty of being leaders. Abu Abdurrahman. Can we hear me, brothers? Can we hear me? Okay, I can't hear Abu Abdurrahman, so I can quickly take one or two questions that I can see myself. The first question is that for women who are breastfeeding, it will be difficult to fast in the month of Ramadan, and they give fidya for 30 days. Is it still upon them to repay the missed fast? No, it is not upon them at all. The fidya stands in the place of their fasting. The fidya is the kafara, is the atonement. That's why Allah says, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ, for those who will find it difficult, for those who will find it hard to fast in the month of Ramadan, فَفِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينٍ, for them, what they should do is fidya. So these are the old aged people, male and female, and those in their rulings, like people who have other terminal illnesses. This ruling also includes women who are breastfeeding, who find it difficult to fast, or women who are pregnant, who find it very difficult to fast. Few moments before I started this class, one of our sisters sent a message to me. She just delivered a twin, a boy and a girl. It was so, so gladdening. May Allah bless this boy. May Allah bless this girl. The two of them have come to us at the times we are all always happy to receive Ramadan. May Allah make this boy and the girl a means of joy for their parents, a means of joy for the rest of the Ummah. Whenever we start Ramadan, we are always happy. And the two of them have come to us when we are just planning to start Ramadan. May Allah make those children a means of joy, means of delight. Every good thing that parents desire in their children, may Allah grant it to this boy and the girl, of righteousness, of knowledge, of wealth, of sound health, of good intelligence, of wisdom, of righteousness, and everything parents desire in their children. May Allah grant it to these children. Out of his mercy, and out of his benevolence. There's a question here again.
Oh, assalamu alaikum, shukran.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Abba Yusuf, you have a question?
Assalamu alaikum. It's about women. It's about woman that saw a period during Ramadan after Asri. Does she have to wait till Maghrib before she can eat?
No, she can eat, because once she Once she breaks the fast, it is lawful for her. She can go on with her meals. She can go on because the menstruation has broken the fast. The menstruation has broken the fast. Alaikum salam. I can hear you about Yusuf. Can you hear me? Can you hear me about Yusuf?
I'm safe and I can hear you.
Abu Amir, are you there? Okay, Bismillah. So if a woman sees her menses before iftar, before the time of iftar, she has Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Abu Yusuf, I can hear you. Can you hear me? The brothers can hear me, Abu Yusuf. Should I go on? The brothers can hear me. Now, so if a woman discovers her menses in the afternoon of Ramadan and she takes care of herself, yes, her fast is broken already. So she should continue with her meals. She can eat her food, she can drink, she can do all other things that is lawful for her. I hope that it is clear. She can eat food, inshallah.
Naam. Jazakumullah khairan. Shukran.
Ameen wa antum.
What are
can
the
I stop?
Naam.
Someone says, can I stop my non-Muslim worker from fasting as he plans to fast this coming Ramadan? But he is not ready to accept Islam. If he is fasting in Ramadan without Islam, it is useless. Fasting is for the people of Iman. Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum siyam. He has no rewards. That is why when a Muslim at the beginning, he is fasting and he gets engaged in shirk, he has to re-accept Islam again. He has to come up with his shahada, make tawbah, before he goes on with fasting. May Allah protect us. Not to say someone who was basically upon kufur and shirk, he has to accept Islam, because fasting, for it to be rewarding, it is for the people of Iman. Allah said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam. So as an employer of labor, if his fasting will be, if my friend stuff, fasting so that he can do my work thing will be impeding his to compel him to stop. When he Yeah. Do we have one more, two more questions? Brothers, do we have a few questions more on Ramadan? I feel as if we should just continue until they announce that the moon has been sighted. Ikhwa. That's how I feel this evening. I feel as if we should just continue. Continue talking about Ramadan until the announcement comes and it meets us while we are discussing Ramadan and the rulings and the manners of Ramadan. May Allah make us reach Ramadan and accept it from us. A nice way to come into Ramadan, but we have to stop the class. So let me say two more questions, Ikhwan. Two more questions.
نعم يا شيخ أنا أحسن الله إليكم.
نعم أمين وإياكم.
What are the actions that are encouraged to do in Ramadan to perceive the halawa of Iman?
After leaving your drinking, after leaving your conjugal relations with your family, there are some things you must also leave. The first of those things you must leave is qawl zur, wrongful witnessing and wrongful speech, bad witnessing, saying that you saw when you did not see, saying that it happened when you don't really know whether it happened, forwarding messages that you are not sure of on the social media. It is from the aspects of qawl zur. They diminish the rewards of your fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah does not need your fast. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. That kind of a person abandon his food and drink, it does not mean anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though he will not be punished as if he did not fast, but he will not gain the full rewards of fasting if he is fasting and is engaged in speech of injustice, zur. From that is also al-lagu wa rafat. Al-lagu is like watching football, watching films, Netflix, Umahat, and other things of time-wasting ventures, like playing cards, like playing ludos, saying that you are whiling away time. It is not lawful to while away time. It is not lawful to while away time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama as-sa'imu min al-lagwi war-rafath." The one who is actually fasting is the one who keeps away from al-lagwi war-rafath. Al-lagwi is dirty speech, dirty talk, useless, vain talks, talks that are meaningless and useless. Please don't get engaged in them. What rafas are expressions of love between a man and his wife. It just goes over at every point in time. He's talking about love, 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 affection, and all of these. Let us be careful about it. Likewise, insult and abuse. Even if somebody may insult you, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, فَإِنْ سَابَّكَ أَحَدٌ أَوْ جَهِلَ عَلَيْكَ فَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ فَإِنْ سَابَّكَ أَحَدٌ. If anybody curses you or insults you, أَوْ جَهِلَ عَلَيْكَ, or behaves to you in a manner that is untoward, فَقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. What you should say is that I am fasting. Don't engage in quarrels. Don't engage in fights. Don't engage in time-wasting ventures. When you abstain from these things, you will feel more from the sweetness of Iman in the month of Ramadan. From the things you should also, Ikhwa, all the scholars, when they talk about the month of Ramadan and the job we have in the month of Ramadan, they usually mention Tilawatul Quran, because Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. Shahru Ramadan الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. So make sure that in Ramadan you do a lot of tilawa. Make sure that in Ramadan your life is entirely guided by the Quran. Make sure that in Ramadan you do a lot of studying the Quran. The Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, Jibreel, alayhi salam, usually came to him in the month of Ramadan to revise the Quran with him. So make it a month of reading of the Quran. Read a lot of the Quran. Find time to study the Quran. Find time to study ahadith. Because these things will make you abstain from sins. Our lessons on Al-Kaba'ir will continue, inshallah. They are our lessons for this month of Ramadan. Why do we want to continue to study Kaba'ir in the month of Ramadan? Because those forgiveness of sins, when the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that Al-Jum'atu ila Al-Jum'ati, wa Ramadan ila Ramadan, mukaffiratun lima baynahun. They are mukaffirat. They are means of atonement, means of cleaning our sins in between. When you fast this Ramadan, it is a means of cleaning your sins from last Ramadan. In a report of this hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Majtunibatil kaba'ir. Majtunibatil kaba'ir. They are mukaffirat lima baynahunna. They are means of placing your sins in between the two. From Salatul Dhuhr to Salatul Asri, you have a way of cleaning your sins. From Salatul Jummah today to next Salatul Jummah, next one we clean the sins. From one Ramadan to next Ramadan, the next one we clean your sins. As long as you avoid Kaba'ir. If you don't avoid Kaba'ir, today's Ramadan will not take away your sins from last Ramadan. That means that it is very necessary for us to recognize Kaba'ir and abstain from Kaba'ir. In tajtanibu Kaba'ir ma tun'auna anhu nukaffiru 'ankum sayyi'atikum. So those sayyi'at between one Ramadan to next Ramadan, between one salat to another salat, all of these you will not get it if you don't avoid Kaba'ir. It means that it is necessary for us to know Kaba'ir, because you can't avoid Kaba'ir unless you know Kaba'ir. So we'll continue with our lessons on Al-Kaba'ir every Monday. We will not do it on Tuesdays, because in the morning of Tuesdays, we will continue with our lessons on Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa. In the mornings of Tuesdays, we will continue with our lessons on Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa. But on Wednesdays, we will also read Al-Kaba'ir. That will be also after Salatul Asr. So Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, we'll be reading about Kaba'ir 4 days in a week in Ramadan after Salatul Asr. Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, after Salatul Asri, we will be reading Kitabul Kaba'ir by Al-Imam al-Zahabi. On our Saturdays and Sundays in the morning, as we do regularly, we'll be busy with Al-Adabul Mufrad. I hope that it is clear. On Saturdays and Sundays, inshallah, we'll be busy in the morning with Al-Adabul Mufrad. But on Tuesday mornings, we'll be reading Ad-Da'u wa-Dawa. On Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, we will continue to read from Kitabul Kaba'ir by Al-Imam al-Zahabi. I hope that this is clear about Rahman. Or Abu Amir and Abu Yusuf, all of you are online today.
No, Ya Sheikh, I'm Ahsan al-Layli.
Amin wa Iyakum, Abu Yusuf.
نعم، what ruling is banned؟ نعم يا شيخ أنا.
Go on with this. I
نعم.
feel we should continue, but we have to stop. We have to stop, Abba Yusuf. We have to
نعم، you
stop,
said you have two
inshallah.
questions
Yes,
more.
right, that we should just continue talking about Ramadan, Ikhwa, until the announcement comes. We have to stop. Go on with this last question, inshallah.
نعم يا شيخنا، what ruling is banned upon a woman that gave birth shortly before Ramadan؟ is it the ruling of someone in nifas or that of a breastfeeding woman؟
We have explained it. If she's in a fast and she's breastfeeding, if she's a person who, even with breastfeeding, she can still fast. Even with breastfeeding, she can fast. It means the overriding ruling why she's not fasting is because of nifas. So what she will do is that she will pay back after Ramadan. If she's a woman who, if it were that there is no nifas and she was breastfeeding, she can breastfeed and fast. The reason she's not fasting is what nifas. So it means she will pay back after Ramadan. But if she's a woman that even if she's breastfeeding, she cannot fast and breastfeed. Do you understand? She cannot fast and breastfeed. Let's say there is no nifas. If there is no nifas, she cannot fast and breastfeed. In that case, she has to make a fidya. I hope that it is clear. What is the overbearing ruling on her? Is it nifas or inability to fast? If there is no nifas, can she breastfeed and fast? If she cannot breastfeed and fast in the absence of nifas, then the ruling on her is fidya. But if she can, together with breastfeeding, she can still fast. It means what is preventing her from fasting is what? Nifas. So she has to pay back after Ramadan. Think about this very well. You get the answer. I hope that it is clear, Abba Rahman.
نعم يا شيخ أنا، جزاكم الله خيرا، أحسن الله إليكم.
I mean, وإياكم. Please, there's a question I want to now ask, answer. It has been coming repeatedly. Can someone give money to do fidya, or in what form should fidya be given for someone that has used money to people in previous Ramadan for fidya, for people who might not truly be in need? The fidya valid? Fidya is for masakin. People collecting people's money, you want to help them do fidya. At the end of the day, you are taking the food to Lekki Masjid. Fear Allah. Fear Allah. Unless in that masjid you have poor people, that is when it will be right to give them the food for fidya. Please, if it is fidya, it has to be for the poor. If it is fidya, it has to be for the poor. Don't give fidya to those who are not masakin. If it is fidya, it has to be for masakin. So if you want to give money, let's say you can't cook for yourself, but the best is that you should cook for yourself. Go out on your street and give that food to someone you know, this person will need the food. When you are cooking that food by yourself, you will feel it that you are preparing the meal of a fasting person. If it is sahur that you are doing by yourself, you are not fasting. But you are preparing the food for a person who is fasting. You will feel the impact of fasting. This is one of the benefits of that fidya. Do it by yourself, oh woman. You can't fast. You can't still cook. You can't fast. You can't still cook. You can't do the two. Please stand up and fast. If you cannot fast, stand up and cook. Cook the food. Go out there. I don't think there's any part of Nigeria you won't find poor people to eat that food. when you have fidya to give as a breastfeeding woman or as a pregnant woman, that breastfeeding and pregnancy is preventing you from fasting. Cook the food by yourself. Now, for those of us who are still not able to cook, like the sister who just gave birth to a twins a few moments ago, it is not likely that she'll be able to cook if she'll be up on fidya. It's not likely that she'll be able to cook by herself. Because I know what it means to take care of twins. I know what it means. In fact, for her, I think the reason she's not fasting is fidya. Because if there is no nifas, I don't know a woman who can feed a twin in the month of Ramadan and she's still fasting. Can you be breastfeeding twins in Ramadan and you are still fasting? I have experienced what that means. I don't think a woman can bear it. So in her case, she should make fidya. And because she will be unable to cook, breastfeeding, washing, cleaning the house, and all of this is a problem for women who have twins. So for her, she can send money to someone to help her do the job. That one is lawful. She is clearly unable to do it. That one is okay. But if you're able to do it by yourself. The command came to you. The command came to you, feed yatun ta'am a miskin. Provide a miskin with food. Cook the food for a miskin. Keep it in mind. Do it by yourself. And if you have now given it to people, give it to people you know. They will take your food to masakin. May Allah accept this fast. May Allah forgive all of us. May Allah make it a means of goodness for us in this dunya. Make it a means of tawbah for us. Make it a means of returning to you in full, Ya Rabb. Make it a means of May Allah accept our dua. Inshallah, we come back to class tomorrow morning for Al-Adabul Mufrad. If we have more issues on Ramadan, we will address them, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullahu khairan.